Lifestyle Matters on Radio 786, your go-to destination for a relaxing evening of conversation, entertainment, and insight. I think relaxing, not so much. Entertainment, not now, but a very important discussion we're having on cervical cancer and why it's important to even have this discussion with your young ones, because one carries and one will get, and prevention is better than a cure. We have Dr. Fatima Hussein, who you've heard on air before, so no stranger to the airwaves of Radio 786. Yes, HPV, very difficult. Before at the break, Dr. Fatima was emphasizing it's one thing to have the conversations with your young girls, but then also have the conversation with the young boys because they are the carriers. And she burst my bubble by saying they're asymptomatic, so it might just not, you won't know. But the talk is important, and the vaccine in itself is the prevention that is better than a cure. Now, just to answer a few, the listeners are saying, asking, is it safe for a non-Mukala, is it safe for non-Mukalaf girls to take this vaccine even when they are not sexually active? This was introduced to us on school, and I remember my parents were against me taking this vaccine. Just wondering if this was the right choice. Also, does this vaccine act as a preventative measure when a girl does marry and become sexually active?
That's the whole point of the vaccine. Mm. I think that's a beautiful question that you asked, and I think question number one, is it safe for a lady or a young girl to have the vaccine prior to them getting their menstrual cycle? And the answer is absolutely, it is. We've all taken the mumps, the measles, the rubella virus, not all of us, but the vast majority of us have had the MMR vaccines, the vaccine against the TB, all of those things when we were little. This is the same. It's in the same class. It's been proven to be safe. It's been tested on hundreds and thousands of people prior to it being put onto the market and being put into the vaccination, drive. One must just remember, it's not like, I know people had a lot of issues with the COVID vaccine. It wasn't developed under the same circumstances as the COVID vaccine. It was developed over a long period of time with lots of research and lots of testing. There wasn't as much urgency with this HPV vaccine as there was with the COVID vaccine. So it's as safe as all your other vaccinations that are in the South African vaccination program, and it's perfectly safe for women to get under if they don't have their menstrual cycle. And yes, absolutely, it does prevent in the vast majority of cases. I mean, yes, there has been a case or two where they have gotten HPV despite having had the vaccine, but it is preventative. So that's primary prevention, actually, to develop HPV. That's why we want people to have the vaccine, because it actually can prevent you from getting the dangerous variants of HPV, which can then eventually prevent you from getting cervix cancer altogether. Mm-hmm. So this is actually really good for one to get. I was actually just chatting to Farida before the during the break, and I said I have a young son. When he gets to that age where he can get the vaccine, I'm definitely pro vaccination. So I will most certainly have him get vaccinated. It's good. It's protective for him, and it's protected for his wife, inshallah.
We spoke now about women, you know, who gets diagnosed with this cervical cancer. You know, what are the current treatment options available, and what challenges do patients often face, you know, during treatment, and how can they be supported?
Wonderful question. Very loaded. So cervix cancer is very treatable. Obviously, like all cancers, there are various stages, and obviously stage 4 is the stage where it's already metastasized and has a bit of a poorer prognosis. It has all the same, well, let's say, you can treat it with surgery. That's usually the first line. If it's early, we like to treat the cervix cancer with surgically to remove it or excise that area. Mm. It usually comes in the form of a hysterectomy, which would include the cervix. We would also often give the patient chemotherapy. If it's a little bit of a later stage and we need to shrink it, chemotherapy usually forms the initial phase of treatment, and then in certain cases we also give the patient radiation therapy. So that means radiation from the outside to the cervix or the cervical area to shrink the area to shrink the cancer, or to help treat it, prevent it from.
You spoke about the stages or the levels, you know, of this treatment or something like that, the options that are there. You mentioned, you know, level 1 to level 4. Now, for your listeners sitting at home, you know, when you speak about levels, you know, you think about load shedding or something like that. Level 1, is it the highest, or mm-hmm. level 4 is the highest?
Stage 1, so not levels, stages. Stage 1 is the earliest, yeah. Okay? And that is where it has the best. We tend to associate stages with prognosis. So it is the most treatable stage and has the best prognosis if treatment is applied at that point. Then obviously there is disease progression. With each of the stages, there's different levels of lymph node involvement. Usually with stage 3, there's additional organ involvement, meaning the cancer starts to grow into the adjacent structures like the anus and the urethra, the bladder. The disease becomes more progressive, and obviously stage 4, it has spread to other organs within the body. That means like to your lungs, to your liver, bones, etc. And in that scenario, it is not curable, still potentially treatable, but not curable, unfortunately.
So what role do you believe the community initiatives and public health policies play in combating cervical cancer?
Loaded question there. That is where the screen, basically public health initiatives, is we talking about screening. Mm. And I think they play the most fundamental role. If we prevention, it's all summed up in one sentence. Prevention is better than cure. So it forms the most fundamental role. But I mean, it requires buy-in from the public. So we can, as doctors and medical health professionals and allied health professionals, etc., we can do so much, but the patient, the public, the people who utilize the service, who are affected by the disease, they have to meet us halfway and actually ask for the treatment, because obviously you can't just force these things on everybody. We have choices in life.
You know, speaking about doing so much, you know, are there currently any programs or policies in place that you think are particularly effective or need to be strengthened?
Not particularly. I mean, look, we can always put more money in the government sector, more money into sexual health initiatives or sex education initiatives at the school level. I know a lot of parents out there are screaming right now, don't teach my child about sex. We don't want to teach your child about sex. We want to teach them on how to manage the consequences of having sex. They are already having sex, whether we teach them about it or not. I think I'm overthinking that they're not going to do it. There's just so much going on with the laptops and access to information, with AI and on all this computers and things like that they have access to, the internet. To think that they do not have access is, I think, keep putting your head in the sand. I think that's where money can go if there is extra money. But we live in South Africa, so there isn't extra money.
Let's be hopeful about extra money. There is two listeners who have different questions, which I feel sounds the same. So the one is saying, "Walaikum salam, why activate something unnecessary?" That's the that's one. The other is saying, "Does the HPV immunities not encourage sexual activity?" So what I gather from this question, because it doesn't seem too clear, is that if you give me the vaccine, I'm going to then want to have sex. But then, I mean, Doctor, you explained it earlier. Our Islam, our deen teaches us a lot of things that are basically preventative measures in any case. So I'm not too sure about these two.
I think the glass can be half full or the glass can be half empty. It's about perspective. And I am not here to, I would say, to change your perspective. Ultimately, those are your children and this is your life. So I don't want to do that. My idea is to try and help you understand why we are putting it out there, why the vaccine is out there. I don't think we're trying to encourage children to have sex. Absolutely not. I think we're trying to prevent them from developing cervix cancer 20 years after they have already embarked on their first sexual encounter, be it willingly or unwillingly. So no, I don't think the vaccine encourages sexual intercourse. I think it's important that a parent has the conversation with their child about why they are giving the child the vaccine. The same way a parent should have the conversation with the child about what is safe and what is not safe, why they should not be having sex under prior to getting married. I mean, the same reason, I mean, why you're going to tell a child don't have sex because you might have a baby out of wedlock, and then what are you going to do with that child? I mean, that is a conversation between a parent and a child. How you go about it, that is, I'm going to leave it in your capable hands. Each of us know our children best. I don't think that's the point of the vaccine. I think the point of the vaccine is really to protect and prevent a very dangerous disease later on. As for the first person, why activate something if it's...
Why activate something unnecessary? I think that could be in relation to the asymptomatic, maybe.
I think my focus on there is unnecessary. Just remember the perspective that I see. I see the patient there with the fungating mass that's smelling from a mile away because she cannot, because of this growth, that she was too shy to get treatment for. So you may see that as unnecessary. I see it as very necessary because an HPV vaccine could have prevented that from happening. And an early appointment with a gynecologist every 3 years to get a pap smear could have prevented that from happening. So I think your perspective and my perspective may be a little bit different. Perhaps you do not necessarily see that the consequences of the disease. Unfortunately, we do as medical professionals, and so we then see why screening the pap, in terms of the pap smear or the HPV vaccine are very, very necessary. And we definitely try to promote it.
I've been thinking throughout this conversation. So the one thing is to have the option to have sex if you want to, irrespective of the religion you follow, what your parents have taught you. The other thing is that we live in a country where it's one in three. And so if if you're going to count three people, three women or three girls, and one of them is going to be raped, then it's a problem in itself. So we're already dealing with an exposure, a danger. So for me, it's like if we are saying, well, I'm for the vaccine and I see the need for it, because if you are saying that you are meeting women who are too shy to even get the help because firstly the smell and what their private area looks like and what they're experiencing and all that pain simply because we didn't understand and our perspectives are different. I think if we can, if you're going to choose life, I'm for choosing life. There's a listener who said, Assalamu alaikum to the parents who is in doubt of the vaccine. I was a good Muslim young lady who saved myself for my husband after nikah, even at the age of 25 and, years later to discover I have HPV, wish I was offered it years ago. We the innocent suffers. So at least there's a listener sharing with us her experience of as good as one might be, she too got it, and it's not something that you wish upon yourself. And here she's saying, had she known, had her parents or whatever the circumstances were allowed for the vaccine to happen, perhaps this would have been a different discussion.
Yeah, I think what many people don't realize is that your daughter may not be the one that's the problem. She may be listening to you and doing all the right things. And again, the guy may be also very good, but he may have had a little bit of a history before. And look, I'm not one. I don't like to judge people on their history, because it's the history that eventually builds you to the person that you become, which may be a strong and very devout person. Always the story of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu comes to light. But again, people make mistakes. People do things when they don't understand it, where the energy and drive of youth fuels wrong decisions. But then you grow up and you learn better and you know better. And then one must just remember that there are ways to protect our children. Not necessarily, it doesn't always encourage wrong behavior. Just maybe just protects them. As long as they understand that, I think that's the right message to get across.
Another listener saying, does the vaccine have an expiration date? Can it last a lifetime?
No. As far as I understand, you will need to get boosters. The same as the measles vaccine, you do need to get boosters. Hepatitis vaccines, hepatitis B, you do need to get boosters. I don't, unfortunately, my knowledge of the time interval, I don't know exactly. I may probably have to check that one up.
I just wanted to read, because let me just read this just so that we reiterate why we're having this discussion. It is the second most common cancer among women in our country, with a staggering of 50.5% increase in deaths due to cervical cancer between, this was between 2008 and 2018, according to Stats SA. Right. And so, there's been a lot of work around cancer and trying to help people live longer and so on. And I don't know, because there's a few listeners who are uncomfortable with this cervical cancer topic. And I think there is a comfort, I don't know, around breast cancer maybe being more easy to understand and other cancers. But this, because it's how you get it, maybe is the discomfort, but I think it's important to note that you can die. And if
also, just because doctor is here, I have to ask this. You know, sometimes we've got polygamous marriages, you know, so you've got you're sharing a husband. Does it affect the next women?
Yes. Simple answer, absolutely. Because if one of those wives has it, she can pass it to the husband, and then he passes it on to the other three wives, if he's participating in intercourse with the other three as well. That's if he has four wives. Obviously, not all people have four wives. Of course, if he has it, or from the beginning, maybe from a previous marriage, or from sowing his wild oats, then he can obviously give it to any woman that he participates in sexual intercourse with. So if somebody has, I think what kind of maybe portraying a little bit of a terrible picture here.
Yeah.
In a healthy immune system can fight HPV.
Mm.
Yeah. So not everybody who gets HPV will develop a chronic form of the HPV.
Mm.
So hypothetically, not all of those women will end up developing HPV and then getting it in the chronic form, which will then result in them developing cervix cancer in the long term. So just something, a little bit of hope at the end of the tunnel, because I feel like I'm giving lots of people really bad news here.
You know, it's the final few minutes with the doctor, you know, as a sports person, when it's the final few minutes, you make sure that you kick your shots on target. You know, you don't do your corners or your indirect free kicks and so on. Just to conclude, doctor, what sort of message would you like to send to women across South Africa, you know, including those who are skeptical about this topic regarding the cervical cancer, and how can they take charge of their health and ensure that they are doing everything possible to prevent this disease?
Doctor, before you answer that, please hold that thought. Just a listener wanting to know about the doses in terms of the intervals of the boosters.
That was the one thing I didn't know, Amaf, to that listener. I honestly cannot tell you the answer to that question. I'll have to check up. I'll send it to the answer to Farida. Oh, actually, I'll be here next week, Tuesday again, inshallah.
Sure.
So inshallah. I will make sure to look it up, and I will let you know.
Okay. Inshallah. Shukran.
Mm-hmm. To answer your question, Khalid, I think, number one, there has been hundreds of generations since Adam alayhi salam to where we are now. Question one, how did we get here? All of our parents had sex. And had us. Okay. Second of all, we all have to die. Okay. So there will be, one way or the other, something will happen to us.
A reason to die, you know.
For us to eventually pass.
Yeah.
But there are many things that we can do to let ourselves live healthier and better lives. And ultimately, again, our religion teaches us, those who see, if you don't, you have to help yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't seek help, how can you ever, how can you ever receive it? So you have to actually put it out there. You have to acknowledge that there is a problem to actually receive the help that is available.
And ultimately, doctor, you know, can you please also encourage parents to talk to their sons as well?
Absolutely. It's boys and girls. It takes two to tango. And tango meaning something else there. Excuse the pun. Please talk to both your sons and your daughters. Because ultimately our sons are the ones that are going to be responsible for looking after their wives and their daughters. And our daughters are going to be the mothers of the future, inshallah, which must also grow up and teach their children how to be strong and how to be able to look after themselves.
I agree. I'm in full support of having honest and open conversations with children, and I'm in full support of the concept of prevention is better than a cure. Dr. Fatima Hussain, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Until we see you next week, Tuesday, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Fatima Hussain of the Uphill State and Hussain Associates speaking to us about cervical cancer. And it's been a very interesting discussion. I see those messages. Thank you so much for engaging with us. Thank you for being a part of this discussion. We are taking a short breather, correct? It is 100.4 FM where you hear the difference.
Radio 786.